Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the science-y stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials. Like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 320 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with Gray. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well, sort of well, but I am here, Dave. I'm here.
Yes, you've had some tooth trouble, I seem to remember.
Yeah, so I know that you'd had the week off last week and did the solo show, but I couldn't have possibly spoken to you last week. I was a drooly, dribbering mess. I'd had a tooth extraction. Hasn't gone well. I'm still suffering. I've got to go for an emergency appointment this weekend coming. But what a half term I had. Absolutely ripped away from me with a real horrendous toothache. Oh, dear.
That's really not what you want over half term. That's no fun at all. So, has it at least given you some chance to catch some films and TV shows?
I wish it had. Honestly, it has ruined my weekend. I had so many grand plans, but between sleep and painkillers and friends looking after me, my question is, where has all my free time gone? I feel like I'm going to sing a song from a musical, because I've also caught up with Matt this weekend as well, just to say that there's been so much on, it sometimes becomes too much. I think I worked out the other day, I'm watching 41 different programs, like midway through seasons of 41 different programs. I don't know where I am going or starting, but I can talk about a few things I've done. Very early October, so my film for the month of October is going to be No Time to Die. I think I briefly spoke about it before, but a fantastic Bond film. Really honors the sort of storyline of Bond. A little bit too long. I'm going to say that in a high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
A little bit too long, but I understood why they needed to tell this story. So it honours the Bond, but it also challenges what we expect in a Bond film as well. And I know now, and the car journey back with my friend really unpicked some of why we think Danny Boyle may have dropped out, or why Daniel Craig only stayed for one more and probably wanted, you know. So there's loads of things we have. It's all theories, of course. None of it is true, and I'm found it's that car theory on the way back from the cinema. But yeah, absolutely enjoyed it. That's gonna be an October film. I'm gonna pitch already that my November film might be The Eternals. Planning to go and see them this weekend, and hopefully that'll be my November film. I'm seeing mixed reviews, but
yes,
we can hope that, you know, as a hardcore Marvel fan, I'm gonna find something that I like a bit. What else have I done? So I did, on one of my sick days, I binged Legends. and I remember saying to Matt, it was like, I didn't know it was the drugs and painkillers I was on, or it was the frankly wacko storylines that Legends still continue to deliver in this most recent season. And I think it really got me when they're in the TV show and they had the alien baby.
Yes.
I genuinely sometimes thought, am I still watching a drama? And anyway, that got it out the way. I think this has shown me that, you know, if Flash ends next season, it would be a relief, because I can't give much more time to these are, I'm running out of patience with them. I think I'm running out of sort of engagement with them, whereas something like Stargirl's doing something different, shorter episode seasons, a little bit more engagement with the story. I mean, I still haven't started season two, but I already heard such good things. I binge Legends, got it out the way. So
I've been enjoying that. Legends is still my favorite out of those shows, purely because it is slightly shorter run anyway, and it embraces the silliness of it, and that's why I think that one sort of works. As long as you're prepared to roll with it, it kind of gets away with it, whereas I think Flash tries to be way too serious. One thing the pandemic I think has shown, and the fact that they, partly because they haven't got a crossover, me and Matt have talked about this, about the fact that there isn't to cross over to break up the season. Yeah. They've completely lost the structure of it. Mm. And what it has gone to show is these shows do not need to be 22 episodes long. It's too many episodes. They need to be like 13, 16 episodes at most, I think. And you could easily chop them all down and do something else. So Stargirl, I think, is doing a much better job at managing things. We've got Naomi coming, which looks like it could be quite interesting. The Arrowverse stuff is really all over the place. Legends, like I say, I do still quite enjoy just because it's very silly and sort of is quite messy. And I quite enjoy that. Whereas the others, Supergirl, I'm kind of plodding through. Flash, I'm sort of half watching. It's not been great this last couple of seasons. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the big sort of event that they're doing at the start of the next season is going to pull something out and kind of give it a bit more of a shove. But it would not surprise me if this next season of Flash ends up being its last one.
But like even that last couple of episodes, those are Legends, I felt like it was moving towards a real end of like run, but obviously I know they're coming back, but the storylines were almost working up to like this could end if we were cancelled. Do you get what I mean? It would have been like this last episode is perfect, and then they play that last bit, the very last one, and go, oh yeah, we remember we've got another commission. But yeah, Supergirl and Flash I still have to finish. So my plan was over 3 days I was going to binge each one of them, but I got a little bit better the next day and I went to see some friends and I didn't get around to doing it. But yeah, Legends is out. Also finished The Equalizer, the Queen Latifah version.
Yes.
Interesting to say the least. I don't know how I feel about it. It is just middle of the road, procedural style. I really like Queen Latifah, but I know it wasn't amazing for me. It fell into sort of like, it felt like a very latter season of Hawaii Five-O, just like really standard procedural. By the end of this season, all the secrets are out and everyone knew about everybody else. And it was all just a little bit, but you know, I just fell to the trap of it's Queen Latifah in it, really. So those were the big American shows I finished. I just want to also to take this moment. I know I watch a lot of these sort of panel and ITV and TV2, BBC iPlayer shows, but the one that I still think is one of the best things we've got on TV, and this comes from someone when we were younger, we had Points of View and Watchdog, is Joe Lycett's Got Your Back.
Yes.
On Channel 4. It's such a good program, and it's hitting us with, in the social media age. So he uses a lot more of his platform to really raise awareness. Mm-hmm. He's not about solving all the problem. He's raising the awareness and calling these companies to account. And what I really like is that he's getting responses from them. And he's done some really good job. He can't solve all these problems, but raising awareness of some of them has been absolutely brilliant. He does it in such a comedic way. It's not boring. And I know, Dave, you would have remembered the Anne Robinson days of, of those sorts of like really stern and really serious and threatening letters, and then it would go over to someone who would read out a set of problems. But he does it in such a lighthearted way. And because, you know, the younger age group are the ones that are having all these problems, it sort of really brings in a new audience to raise awareness to, you know, the situations that we're going to fall in traps with in terms of insurance and buying things at market value, or clothing that has already been pre-worn and gets sent out to people. And so he does a really great job. And I just want to raise awareness of, I think that is definitely one of the best commissions that Channel 4 have made in quite a while. In terms of like giving that sort of real life sort of panel type show. So that's Joe Lycett's story. But I finished that season a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Anne Robinson stuff. I'm actually old enough to remember the Esther Ranson days of That's Life.
Oh, so. I remember that too as well. That was very good. That was very tugging cheek, some of that as well, wasn't it? Late night BBC on a Saturday, I seem to remember.
Very much sort of the Consumer Affairs, but with comedy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Very 80s sort of version of it. But it's nice to see Joe Lycett doing this sort of stuff, and Channel 4 kind of embracing that. I think it's really good that that sort of stuff is out there and raising awareness for things. It's good.
And then I'll just finish off by saying, I am currently in the midst of watching about 41 programs. Some of them include like Ted Lasso. I finally, when I was recuperating on the Monday after my dental work, my friends have Apple TV, so I started watching Ted Lasso, started watching Why the Last Man, only one episode in, started watching Clickbait, The Resident, Vincent, Zoe's, all of these are about one episode in or two episodes in. I've had a drama with Zoe's because it's on after I need to go to bed because of my job is still really early at the moment. I watched episode one, and then Channel 4 had all their problems, and episode two and episode three just went missing. And so it's taken me about 4 weeks, and they suddenly appeared over the weekend, and I quickly downloaded them and sent a screenshot to Matt going, they're finally back. So this week I've got to watch episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5 to catch myself up with Zoe's. But just so much TV at the moment. And I even seeing the list I know we're going to talk about later is really exhausting me thinking about some of the stuff I'd like to watch. So that's me, a very exhausted person with a sore tooth. Dave, how about you? Are you over your MCM visit, and what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, I am sort of over most of my MCM stuff. There's a ton of videos gone up onto the YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/geektown. I'm still posting cosplay edits. I did a roundup sort of post that had a bunch of the photos up and all the videos and everything linked and sort of my impressions of the show and that sort of stuff. They did a pretty good job because obviously, you know, that it was a smaller show. They were having to deal with COVID and all that sort of stuff. And they did a really good job, or seemed to be doing a pretty good job kind of managing all that. There were a few issues with some of the security, particularly apparently with disability access, but I think that's possibly more the security in XL rather than MCM themselves. And hopefully that's something they can figure out. But overall, I think they handled it very, very well. It's going to be interesting to see what MCM's like when it comes back in Birmingham, which is on the 13th and 14th of November. So we've got MCN in Birmingham. And then the week after that, we've got Wales Comic-Con coming in Telford as well. So there's lots of cons coming up, which is kind of fun. It's nice to be back. It's weird being back in those sort of situations with loads and loads of people, because it's the first thing I've been to in about 2 years where, it's been more than a couple of people there. And it felt very normal. Everybody was COVID tested or had double vaccinations. People were wearing masks quite a lot. So it pretty much was very well covered. I thought they did a pretty good job with it. There's photos going up on Instagram as well. I'm still doing photo edits, so you can see some of the unedited photos and some of the edits up on the website. But go and check it's Geektown UK on Instagram. Go and check that out and you'll see photo edits up there. But in terms of TV stuff, I finished a whole bunch of things. Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3, that was fantastic. Such a wonderful version of Star Trek that, even though it is a kind of silly cartoon from the people that are doing Rick and Morty, you know, even though that is the case, it's still a really good example of Star Trek. It's just got more jokes in. It's sort of in the same way that The Orville is a great example of Star Trek, but with jokes.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek Lower Decks is very much in that sort of vein. You know, it still takes itself seriously in terms of being a Star Trek series, but there are some very stupid jokes in it. So it works so, so well. And certainly if you like those sort of next generation, older school Star Trek shows, it will really hit with you. I think it's a really, really solid show that, and wonderfully fun. I really enjoy that series. Another Life, which is another type of sci-fi, that's the one that stars Katie Sackhoff, and she is put in command of this ship. This big alien artifact lands on Earth. She's put in command of this ship that he's then got to go and try and find the homeworld of these aliens. And the first season, they do that and find out that the aliens are possibly not as friendly as they rather hope they might be. So the second season is kind of dealing with that. Don't know whether it's going to get a third season. The second season certainly wraps it in a way that if it has got a third season, it's going to be very different. It would be quite interesting to see that. But the second season does wrap up that story quite well, certainly of the sort of artifact and the aliens and all that sort of stuff. So it's a good, solid two-season drama as it is. If it doesn't come back, definitely worth watching. It's very much in the vein of those sort of sci-fi type dramas, as in the sort of US sci-fi channel, those sort of things that they used to commission, what I refer to as Canadian sci-fi. Things like Dark Matter and that sort of level of the mid-tier sci-fi shows that are good, solid, fun, knows what they are. It's very much at that sort of level. And that two seasons wraps that story up very, very well. well. But I'd be interested to see a third season, but I'm not convinced that they're necessarily going to do one because it's Netflix and they tend not to do that all that much. But it would be interesting to see a third one if they do. Another thing I've binged my way through, Cobra, Cyber War, which are all the episodes are now back on demand. They've taken the last three episodes off temporarily due to the recent incidents with the news with stabbing the MP. They're taking the three episodes off. I can see why now, having seen those episodes. They are all back on now. Again, really interesting. Robert Carlyle is great in the lead role as Prime Minister in that. It's got a lot of interesting political stuff going on as well as being a very interesting drama. And this one, the reason it's called Cyber War, obviously, is because it is about a cyber attack on the UK mixed in with there being political upheaval and what that sort of calls. And it's sort of dealing with fake news and the driving of fake news across the internet and all that sort of stuff. So there is a lot of really intriguing things that they delve into with that. So definitely worth watching. It's six episodes long and that's all up on Sky On Demand right now.
Does it connect well with the first season? I did watch the first season of that. Does it connect all the characters? Do they still have their stories going on or is it starting almost like afresh?
They do, yes. You can sort of probably drop into the second season without having to know too much. There are a few references back to some of the first season characters, like the woman that was from the Labour side that in the first season that was an advisor to the Conservative government. She's still around. It does still deal with a lot of the characters that were there and some of the fallout from that first season, but it also does sort of start fresh as well. So I don't think you need to have watched the first season to be able to get what's going on in the second season. I think it works almost as a standalone thing as well, but there are some callbacks to some of those things from the first season. So Titans season 3, because I have access to HBO Max, so I've been watching that over here and that has been really good. I know Matt has a slightly differing opinion on this, but I actually really like what they did with the third season. I thought it worked incredibly well and I'm kind of interested to see what they do for the next season because they aren't going to be in Gotham. I think it helped having one central villain pretty much throughout the entire thing and focusing on one area. There were more familiarity to it. They cut down the amount of time they spent with some of the characters. I think they handled that much better than they did with season two, which was a bit of a mess and they were trying to sort of balance it out a little bit too much. I think it was far more focused for season three and I thought they did a really good job with that. So we don't know when that's landing officially in the UK yet. That's on Netflix, but I think it's usually January, so should be early in the new year when that lands. Over on Disney Plus, I finished Only Murders in the Building, which I really, really loved. And that is coming back for another season. And I really like where they ended it. They ended it definitely, you know, assuming they were going to go into another season, I think. So I really liked how that wrapped up. We obviously got to know who the murderer was. I'm not going to spoil that here, but it is a character that you really probably should have guessed was going to be the murderer. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was wonderfully funny. It's Selena Gomez and Steve Martin and Martin Short. And the three of them work really well together. And you wouldn't necessarily think that because Selena Gomez seems like the odd one out, but her character is slightly the odd one out in that little trio as well. So it sort of works. Really interesting where they ended that one up. So I'm looking forward to them coming back for a second season. Have you caught that yet?
No, again, one on my very long list. I think if I'm watching 41 programs, I think I've got over 100 on my long list.
Wow.
Of programs that I want to watch. It's ridiculous. Like they go back from right to the beginning of 2021. And actually, around the time I started this new job, that's been one of the sappings of all my time.
Yes, I'm sure.
Work, eh?
Yes, damned work. Those are the things that I finished off. I'm still watching through a whole bunch of current stuff, particularly enjoying Foundation at the moment over on Apple TV Plus and The Morning Show, which is also on Apple TV Plus. Morning Show had a cracking episode this week and Foundation has just been getting better and better. It's just a huge epic sci-fi sort of Game of Thrones level epic. Obviously, no dragons in that it's a sci-fi thing, but it's got that sort of big epic feel to it. Looks incredible. They've done an amazing job with it. I don't know how much money they threw at it, but I rather suspect it was an awful lot. But absolutely brilliant, that show, and really, really enjoying that. A morning show has been brilliant as well. Just, I'm not going to talk too much about this because it's video games that I know you don't play, but Guardians of the Galaxy I'm playing through at the moment. I will probably have a chat with Matt about that next time he's on, because I know he put out a podcast with his first impressions on that. So I'll go into a bit more detail. It's quite interesting, the Guardians of the Galaxy game, because it's not based on the movies. It's more based on the original comic books, in the same way that the Spider-Man video games were based on the Spider-Man original comic book properties rather than being based off the movies. So it takes that sort of idea. Gameplay is very much kind of reminds me of Uncharted more than anything else, but I'm really enjoying that. And about halfway through it, I think, judging by the chapter numbers. So I am really enjoying that. It's been getting pretty positive reviews. I won't talk about that much now because there's no point talking to you about it. So I'll wait till Matt's on for that. And last night was the first episode of Doctor Who Flux, which is this 6-episode kind of almost mini series, which I thought they launched really, really well. It's an interesting setup. What's really interesting about this one is it is a continuing story arc, which is traditionally what they used to do with Doctor Who. I mean, those of us that are old enough to remember the original Doctor Who before Russell T. Davis revised it, that's what it was. It was half an hour shows and it ended every episode on a cliffhanger. So it's kind of going back. I mean, they're longer format, but it's going back to what the original format was, which is longer story arcs. And I think they opened that quite well. There was a lot going on, but I think they juggled it reasonably well. I like John Bishop quite a lot. I mean, he's not the best actor in the world, but I think it works. And, you know, his sort of attitude towards meeting the Doctor and stuff was very Scouse, I thought. So I thought, just entertaining and fun. Clearly, they are building to something really huge, which sort of makes sense because, you know, we are heading towards Jodie's last outing as the Doctor. She is going to do this season and then has a couple of specials. And then I think around autumn next year is when they'll actually do the transition to the new Doctor, and Russell T. Davis takes over in 2023 fully. Have you watched this yet?
I knew it was on. I suddenly realised last night, oh, it starts tonight, and I need to watch one more episode. I think the New Year one from earlier, right, from this year. I haven't watched that, but I have been watching it with Jodie. I really like her as an actress, but yeah, I will catch it up. I'll just put it on that long list, Dave. Just pop it on the bottom.
This is kind of different and interesting. I thought the second season with Jodie worked much better than the first, and I think this is a really interesting trial format that they're doing this time around. I do wonder whether they maybe will do a bit more of this moving forward if they decide this works, going back to that sort of continuous story format when Russell takes back over again. I don't know. It'll be interesting, but certainly I think this is working quite well so far. I have seen sort of mixed reviews of it, but there's always going to be people that complain about Doctor Who.
Of course,
you know,
there are, yeah. So,
but overall, I thought they did quite a good job with it, and some slightly dodgy CGI right at the start, but you know, it's fine. generally, overall, I thought it worked really, really well. Interested to see where that goes because, you know, they're throwing all sorts of villains in there, and yeah, they've also introduced a new main villain character, which there's all sorts of theories about who that is. So we'll see where it goes. So that's all the stuff we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
So we start off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. No cancellations at all, as far as I can see so far this week, or the last couple of weeks, really. We'll move on to the renewals. We've got Succession has been renewed for a fourth season, which I don't think is comes as a shock to anybody at all, given the just, I mean, it's a show that I need to go back. I watched some of the first season. I really enjoyed it. And then I think my Skybox died and I lost episodes and I kind of lost where I was and then kind of never picked it back up again. So I really need to go back to it because it was a really, really good show. And it's been a huge hit for HBO and drilling on Sky Atlantic every year right now. That's been renewed for a full season. That's been a massive, massive hit show. Elite, which is the Netflix series that's been renewed for a sixth season, which, I mean, that's got to put it up there with one of Netflix's most long-running things. It's very much snuck under the radar, that show.
Is that the Spanish one? Is it Spanish?
Yeah, it's Spanish. It's a teen drama set in a school. Secondary school.
Yeah.
That's been renewed for a sixth season. I'm not even sure whether the fifth season's been out for that yet. But yes, it seems to have flown under the radar, that, but it's coming back again. And Happy Valley has been renewed for a third, and they've said final season as well. And that's been off air for a while. It was...
Yeah, that was the rumour that they were waiting for the young boy to grow up a little bit. And I was so excited. I think it's the right timing as well. So probably going to come to our screens in late 2022 or 2023, which is, really exciting.
Yeah, because it's certainly not starting to film until next year. It's been, 2016 was there, and it was last on. So it has been a few years. And yeah, that was always the talk of they had an idea for a story, but they wanted the boy to actually grow up a bit older because they wanted to sort of deal with that in the storyline. So that's quite nice that they've done that. So they're coming back for a third and final season for that. In terms of pickups and other bits and pieces of news, The Outpost finally has a UK air date on Sci-Fi UK. That is coming on Wednesday, the 24th of November. That's for the fourth and final season. A couple of the US networks have handed out full season orders to shows which haven't landed over here yet, with Wonder Years, which I think has been announced for Disney Plus, and Home Economics as well, which is another ABC show will probably be on Disney Plus. The fact that they've got full season orders means they're likely to get renewed. Ghosts, which is the US version of the BBC show, that's been given a full season order at CBS, so that apparently has gone down quite well as well. So whether we'll ever actually see that, it may be one of the things that ends up on Paramount Plus possibly over here, but because it's, the BBC version is so beloved, I don't know how well it'll go down. So I don't know. It's one of those things that I don't see anybody necessarily picking up, but could end up either on one of the Channel 5 channels or could end up on Paramount Plus when that launches next year. But we'll see. Over on Sky, they've announced that the Apple TV Plus app is coming to Sky Q and Sky Glass later this year. Sky Glass being the TV that you can now go and buy, so with just got Sky built into it. I was looking at the press release again. I don't think they've mentioned about it coming onto Now. I don't know, is it available? Have you got Now, or do you have Now, don't you?
Yeah, I've got Now, and it's not on there at the moment. And when I saw this note, I was like, and then I read the article and I was like, it doesn't say Now, so it might be a case of it coming later, because frustratingly, we took a while to get the Disney Plus app. Do you remember that time? Like, the only way I could get Disney Plus was to go in through my main television rather than through Now. And then about 2 weeks later, bam, it was suddenly there as an app to use. It was, it could be the same situation. It might just take a while to get it formatted ready for Now.
Yeah, the only thing it does mention in the press release about Now was Now users in the UK will be able to both sign up and purchase any Now membership via the Now app on Apple devices. So clearly there is some sort of connection going on there, but it seems to be sort of almost the other way round of like enhanced Now features on Apple devices. So I suspect it will end up on the Now box, but I don't know at the moment. So they didn't specifically mention that in the press release. All they've said that is going on to Sky Q and it's going on to Sky Glass, which I'm quite happy about, because at the moment I have it on a Roku stick and, it's a bit of a pain having to kind of flip backwards and forwards, whereas I can run Netflix and I can run Roku and I can run everything. I can run the Roku channel directly through Sky and I can run Netflix and Amazon directly through Sky. That's like the only app that I really use that I can't run through Sky is Apple. So I'm quite quite glad they've done that deal. It's makes life a little bit easier. And also announced today, Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas, which is the movie which is coming to the Roku channel, which is based obviously on Zoe's Extraordinary playlist. That has got first trailer, which is now up on the website, and it is landing on the 1st of December. Annoyingly, the second season, which is running out on E4 at random days and times in the UK, frustratingly, that won't end unless they start doubling up episodes until December 20th, I think. Oh. But it does mean that when it does end, you'll be able to go straight on to the Roku channel and watch the special afterwards. So,
isn't that so frustrating? Just really, again, like, they're not talking to each other, and all E4 need to do is, we agree, we'll get them all run out so that it works for your promo. But no, ridiculous.
But you've then got to kind of get the E4 schedulers to put their drinks down and, to slap them about of it so they would get out of the drunken stupor. So, it's kind of annoying, but it does mean that it's going to be a little bit closer to Christmas, and maybe that's fine, rather than just kind of suddenly watching it on the 1st of December. It'd be a nice thing to watch sort of over the festive period. But they have said 1st of December, Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas. I hope that goes down really well and Roku then makes some sort of deal to make more of them, even if it's more movies or something. Rather than a series, but we'll see. Roku Channel, of course, is available on Sky Boxes. That is on now, I think, isn't it?
Yes, that is definitely on now. That is, that's one of mine.
So if you've got access to a Now box, if you've got Sky TV, Roku Channel is under the apps on that, and it's on some TVs as well. So it's not got widespread coverage, but it is available in quite a lot of places, the Roku Channel, and it's a streaming service and it's completely free. It's all ad supported and there is some great stuff on there, so it is worth going to check out the Roku Channel. And particularly if you've got it on Sky, go and check under your apps that will be on there. It's got all the old Quibi stuff on there as well, which had some great shows, despite the fact the service was terrible. But the shows themselves were quite good. That's worth going to look up. On to some other news stories. John Hamm has got himself a new voice acting gig. The actor is going to be voicing a small town detective in a Fox animated series called Grimsburg. The strapline for it says, Martin Flute may be the greatest detective ever to catch a cannibal clown or correctly identify a mid-century modern armoire, but there's one mystery he still can't crack: his family. Now that he's back in Grimsburg, the town where everybody has a secret or three, Flute will follow every lead he's got to redeem himself with the ex-wife he never stopped loving, even if it means hanging out with the son that he never bothered to get to know. In addition to voicing the main character, he's also exec producing. The showrunner on it is somebody that worked on The Cleveland Show and Santa Clarita Diet. Those are the people involved with it. The actual creators of the series are relative newcomers, as far as I can tell. They don't seem to have that many credits under their name, and certainly nothing I particularly recognised other than some shorts. So another animated series for Fox and John Hamm. So
I'm not sure, but it's Fox. I like Family Guy. I've always been not the dedicated. I used to be a fan of The Simpsons. They might do quite a good job. We'll see. It's got The Cleveland Show behind it. So yeah, I might give it a go. I do like their sort of animation style.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be a sort of similar animation style to the sort of Family Guy type stuff. But Fox have got so many of those animated series out there. I think, some of them are Disney owned, some of them aren't. But sure, why not? We'll see whether that lands anywhere over here. But they have got this whole sort of Fox animation strand over there. Over on HBO Max, they have a Batgirl movie in development, which they talked a little bit about at the DC Fandom event, but they've now got some bit more casting. Brendan Fraser, who's actually in DC already because he voices one of the characters for Doom Patrol, he is set to join Leslie Grace, who is going to be playing Batgirl in the Warner Brothers and DC Films movie, which is being made specifically for HBO Max in the US. It's the first sort of major DC property to debut exclusively on the streaming service as well. We don't really know anything about the plot details of the film. We know that it's Barbara Gordon. It's that version of Batgirl that they're using, which makes sense because that's like the most established version of it. Not the first version of it, the original Batgirl. article was Betty Kane, who was around in 1961, but Barbara Gordon is the one that everybody really knows. Brendan Fraser, apparently he's going to be playing Firefly, they reckon, in this. That's the rumour, anyway, who is one of the sort of main Gotham villains. An interesting sort of one to pick up. I mean, as the name rather suggests, he is a pyromaniac that is obsessed with fire. So, sure, it's weird as having him maybe as the main villain, but that's what they've said he's going to be. Fraser's actually had a bit of a resurgence recently. I mean, he's had a whole bunch of TV appearances in various different things, both in sort of serious acting and sort of some sillier roles. Doom Patrol, of course, he voices Robot Man, I think it is, in Doom Patrol he voices. I mean, familiar with DC properties already. Quite looking forward to this. I think it's going to be interesting to see this take on Batgirl, particularly as it's been done for HBO Max as well, rather than a cinematic release, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's a different, it's what we would have called in the 90s, like a B straight to TV movie.
But, yeah.
So they're a little bit more quality behind it. I'll look forward to it. I'll look forward to watching it. I do like some of what they're doing now. They've taken a sort of a reset and thought about not churning out big ones to try and match what Marvel are doing. They're taking their time. They've been a little bit more careful. So probably will tune into this one.
It's going to be interesting where it sort of sits tonally, because they've kind of given up on the whole connected universe thing. So you've still got the Snyderverse kicking around, and there are the various characters that are connected to that. But then you've got this sort of separate Batman thing going on, and then you've got other movies as well in development. You've got this whole other HBO universe thing. You've still got the old Arrowverse stuff which is kicking around, and it's all kind of a bit all over the place. But you know, there's no reason why it needs to be a connected universe necessarily. They live in a multiverse, so you know, why not play with it that way? That's fine with me. If it means, I mean, like we said, you're gonna have three different Batmans on screen next year, which is a bit weird, but you know, they're fine. That's what we're gonna get. That's fine. I'm all for more Batman. The writer of the Batgirl movie is the same person that wrote Birds of Prey and wrote Bumblebee as well. Had some involvement in the Flash script. So yeah, seems to know what she's doing. So, you know, that's fine. We don't know where that will land over here, because of course we don't have HBO Max. I'm still hoping that Sky actually announced that they've done a deal for all the HBO Max stuff, because that was what would make the most sense. They are launching HBO Max in a bunch of European countries, but not here because of the Sky deal, which is really frustrating, because if Sky don't then do a deal for the HBO Max stuff, it means we end up getting it piecemeal. And I understand it, because Sky have a deal for the other HBO stuff. But, you know, if they're going to do that, I would rather that they did a deal for having HBO Max as well, which currently they don't. But we'll see. And the other news story we've got this week is National Treasure. Obviously, the big movie that had Nick Cage in the leading role, and they made two of those. We now have a TV series coming, which isn't going to star Nick Cage. It is going to have a young actress called Lisette Alexis in it, who has done a show called Total Eclipse. I have no idea who she is. I've never seen her in anything, but she's a young actress who is now going to take the sort of lead, kind of taking over the baton from Nick Cage's Benjamin Gates character. So it's not like a reimagining. I have a feeling they're sort of setting it in the same universe idea, but it's going to be a different story and a different character. Exec produced by the film's producer, Jerry Bruckheimer, who also did the films, John Turteltaub, and the writers Marianne and Cormac Wibberley, apparently, are the writers behind it. It's an expansion to the National Treasure movie franchise, told from the point of view of a young heroine, a dreamer in search of answers about her family, who embarks on the adventures of a lifetime to uncover the truth about the past and save a lost Pan-American treasure. That's the setup for it. She will be taking the sort of proverbial baton from Benjamin Gates, who is the character played by Nick Cage. Interestingly, they have actually also supposed to be having a new Nick Cage movie in development as well. So a National Treasure 3, like big screen film thing. Mm. Whether there'll be some connection with the characters at some point, and whether she'll show off in the film maybe in some way, I don't know. But they were sort stuff, originally they were kind of working on the pair of them together, and it has got the film producers involved with it. But yeah, I mean, the National Treasure movies were kind of big, silly fun. I can sort of see that working for a TV show, maybe. I've
never been a fan of them, never really engaged with them much when I was younger. And I don't know, I've never been a huge Nick Cage fan. I liked him when he did Kick-Ass, but apart from that, I've never been a huge fan of him. So I don't think I watched the film. So this would definitely be a pass for me. I don't think anything would engage me to want to watch it. I mean, John Turteltaub, you know, good name on it, and you know, there's lots of good quality, but it's probably not going to interest me. I'll probably have to pass on that one.
Yeah, it's a shame, because they've had a mixed result with some of these sort of things. Because I mean, this isn't the first thing where they've taken the sort of film thing. They did like Turner and Hooch, and they've done a few other things where they've taken a film property and sort of done a TV show version of it. Mighty Ducks seem to go down quite well. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think this could be kind of quite a fun adventure series. We'll see how it goes. But production is starting on that in early 2022, apparently. They have ordered it to series. So it's coming whether you want it or not. So that's all the news we've got for this week. We've just got time for some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV. We kick off with What We Do in the Shadows. Season 3 of that comes to BBC Two on the 2nd of November at 10:05. They're starting that. That's another show that I'm way, way behind on that I need to actually catch up with. There's AP Bio. That's coming on the 2nd of November at 10 p.m. That's coming to Sky Comedy for Season 4. We have The L Word, Generation Q. Season 2 of that comes to Sky Atlantic on the 3rd of November at 10:05. Then The Premise, which is a new anthology series hosted by BJ Novak, that is coming to start on Disney Plus on the 3rd of November. Station 19 Season 5 starts on Sky Witness on the 3rd of November at 10 p.m. That will be followed next week by Grey's Anatomy, which is when that starts. So they're starting off. This is the first of a two-parter, so that's on the 3rd of November. Then we have Family Guy Season 20, that has moved over onto Star on Disney Plus. That's also coming on the 3rd of November. Big Mouth Season 5, if you like your animated things, that is coming to Netflix on the 5th of November. Also over on Netflix on the 5th of November is Narcos Mexico. The third and final season of that lands over there. Also on the 5th of November, The 100, allegedly. Season 7 will finally go out. Now everything is sorted on 4Music. It's not moved in the schedules, so it does seem to be staying there. 5th of November, 9 p.m. on 4Music. It is there. I checked earlier on, it is up on the schedule on Sky as well, so it does seem to be there. You can add it to your planners and stuff, so hopefully that is it. It won't move again, and it will be 4Music, 5th of November, 9 p.m. The 100, Season 7. Now everything has stopped falling to bits over there. Over on Apple TV, we've got the third and final season of Dickinson. That is Apple TV Plus on the 5th of November as well. Lots on the 5th of November. There's people to
easy day to remember.
Yeah, to stopping people going out to watch fireworks. Wurzel Gummidge Season 2, that lands on the 6th of November at 5:45. That is landing on BBC One. That is the updated version by Mackenzie Crook. Close to Me, which is a new psychological suspense drama that stars Connie Nielsen and Christopher Eccleston, looks like it could be quite good. That's coming to Channel 4 on the 7th of November at 9 p.m. And finally, Dexter New Blood. That is Season 9, effectively. That's coming on the 8th of November at 10:05. That lands. That's 9th season, and that is 8th of November. I'm very, very much looking forward to that on Sky Atlantic. 10:05, that starts, and that's Dexter. So that is everything. There's a lot coming up on the start of November.
So much going on. Everyone's going to be inside a lot more because it's darker outside.
Well, yes, there is that. You know, there's trying to sort of drum people back to their TV series. It's getting darker now. They've changed all the clocks and stuff. So yeah, I am looking forward to Dexter coming back though, and the 100 finally landing, you know, allegedly. Hopefully it does. So when you're not watching TV shows or just getting stuck into work, where can people find you online?
If they want to come and find me, it's very quiet at the moment. I'm over on Twitter at Grey the Geek. That's Grey with an A. But yeah, I have been extremely quiet as I'm sulking and convalescing with a horrendously sore tooth at the moment. hopefully all resolved by next week as well. So yes, that's where I'll be. Come and find me.
Awesome. So go find Gray over on Twitter. For other people involved in the show, you can of course find Bex at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES. She was doing charity streams over the weekend, raising money for Mind. Go and check her out over there. She managed to do pumpkin carving without chopping anything off, which I was really impressed by, because she had some big knives as well. She was like, shall I use the big knife? And the entire chat was going, no, use the little knives. We want you to have fingers at the end of this. That was really funny. And she managed to actually carve some pumpkins and stuff. So, and she was doing all that for a charity stream, and they're raising a load of money for Mind. And she's doing lots of other retro gaming and fun stuff over there. So go and check that out. That's twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES. For Matt, you can go and find all these podcasts over on entertainmenttalk.org. That includes the Walking Dead World Beyond podcast, which we are doing over there. And for Daryl, you can go to HollywoodNorthNews.net and check out all those TV series that you love, which are shot in Canada over there. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk, where we've got lots of cosplay photos going up right now. So go and check that out. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.